Hey, my name's Tim, and I'm the lead pastor here, and it's great to be with you this morning. We're, as Jason said, we're kind of doing an end of a summer celebration, and that's always mixed, celebrating all the great things that have happened this summer, but also mixed with kind of wrapping up summer and heading into the school year. And you know what? Even heading into the school year, we realize is mixed. Some of us are excited for that, and really great. Usually it's the parents that are excited, but the kids are excited is even better. So, if you might be mourning that school started, you might just can't wait and are just counting down the minutes or the days till school starts. But what we wanted to do today is to just pause for a moment and celebrate that all good things come from God, and we've experienced some great things this summer. Maybe a few personally, if you took a moment, thanks for doing that, just to say, hey, this was a highlight of my summer. It might have been something really simple and fun and easy. It might have been something that you've been anticipating for a long time. It might have been something that was surprising, but the best part of your summer. Thanks for sharing that if you did that. And I just wanted to share with you and highlight with you several of the things that happened in the life of Mosaic this summer that as we look back on the last, say, 2.5 months or so, that we're just grateful to God for and want to stop and celebrate. One of those things is Serve Sunday. We tried this again this year. We did it for the first time last year. And on a Sunday, in each of our three gatherings, we just did something very unique compared to a normal Sunday. We moved out all the chairs, and we had tables set up and divided up into teams and groups of people based on projects, and I think we had maybe 6 to 10 different projects that we could serve in a whole bunch of different ways. We had a couple really small teams go out to a couple homes that were shut-ins, so folks that because of health reasons weren't able to get out and didn't see a lot of people, and their homes were in need of some updating and some help and just cleaning and that kind of thing. And so some small teams stepped in there and helped clean and get to know them and spend some time with them. We had a whole crew of people go over to Scott's school in Coley and just clean and help there. And actually, a fun kind of follow-up to that is a number of us here, I think there was maybe a dozen or so, showed up for the community care day yesterday to help Scott School get ready for school that starts on Wednesday. And so we were able to make a difference back in early July and then come back again yesterday and help out there. We had a crew of folks that stayed and just wrote letters to people in prison. We have a connection with a local prison here where we're in contact with some women that are in prison, and we wrote letters just to encourage them. Did a number of different kinds of projects around the city to meet needs in different ways. And it was a fantastic experience. It gets us out of our comfort zone. It gets us tangibly serving people. And that was just fantastic. So that was early July. We did a Serve Sunday. Each Wednesday throughout the summer, we've done Wednesdays together, which is something new for us. And so if you haven't been to one, there's one left this coming Wednesday. It's the final one for the summer. But what we've done is we've gathered out here on the parking lot, and we've transformed the parking lot to look less like a parking lot and more like that, where a safe place to eat and play games. Actually, I'd like so many people volunteered time and effort to set that up and make that look good. And then a whole nother crew of people, a lot of life groups, signed up to own a particular Wednesday and to make dinner. And we've had some delicious dinners. Would you mind doing this? If you've helped either make a dinner or help set up or tear down on our Wednesdays together, would you just raise your hand and let us thank you and celebrate you? Go ahead, raise your hand. There. Thank you so much for doing that. That's made such a difference and allowed us to be able to have Wednesdays together. After dinner, we've come in here for, adults have been in here for a class that we've called Word of Life, that we've moved through Scripture of understanding how it is that we can trust Scripture and is it reliable, and then moving through the different genres of it. And the things that we said for that class has been that we would grow in our courage, our confidence as followers of Jesus. We'd be able to say, yeah, I believe this is true and here's why. and to grow in our skill of being able to read and understand Scripture. So courage in relying on Scripture, and then joy, just that we would experience joy as we read Scripture, and hopefully that has happened, that you've sensed that if you've been a part of that class on Wednesday nights. And then our youth, our high school and middle school students have taken off to the park to hang out and play games, and then our kids have been here for Camp Mosaic. And Camp Mosaic ends this Wednesday, and so if you're a kid and you've been a part of Camp Mosaic, it's ending. If you've not been to it all summer and you want to come, you're welcome to come this Wednesday for the last one. But prizes will happen. It's a special night of Camp Mosaic this Wednesday night. Again, don't miss it. If school starts for you on Wednesday, you can kind of step into the school year a little bit during school year and then step back into summer for one last time on Wednesday nights. But we'll finish out final Wednesday this Wednesday night. So that's just been a whole lot of fun. Another thing that happened this summer is we sent about 25 people on a mission trip to Cholula, Mexico. Cholula is about 2 hours southeast of Mexico City, so quite a ways down into Mexico. I think there was about 12 or 14 or so high school students, and then the rest were adults. That team went down, and primarily for 1 week, the primary part of the trip was putting on a VBS or a summer school for about 250, 275 kids in the neighborhood in Cholula. And this was a great experience. Our high school students just worked really hard. The adults did as well, but the high school students just did awesome. There's a couple pictures there of some of the things that we did with them. The fascinating thing about families in Cholula is many of them would consider themselves Catholic. And in fact, as we started class each day of the week, we would recite the Lord's Prayer both in Spanish and in English. And all of the students could do that. Like, I can't even do that. They could all do it from memory, just in Spanish and in English. But yet they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's this rote thing that they just kind of do, and they know how to do it, and they've been to school for it and that kind of thing. But they don't know Jesus personally. And so part of our purpose and mission in going was to represent Jesus well to them and invite them to know Jesus. And a number of them did. But they don't know Jesus personally. But we had a lot of fun, did a lot of different things with them through that school. And then afterwards, the high school students that were a part of the trip got together with some of the volunteers for the school that were from the neighborhood, both high school students and young adults. And Connor, our student pastor here at Mosaic, led an afternoon activity each of those days where it was just a chance to get to know them and invite them to know Jesus as well. It was a great trip and got to be a part of something really significant there in Cholula. Those are just a few of the things that we're celebrating during this summer. We prayed at the end of spring and the beginning of summer that as we pray so regularly that we would see people come to know Jesus here in Portland. And I just want to share with you that we've seen that happen this summer. We've had a number of people come forward and say, hey, I've just become a follower of Jesus, or I just decided to commit my life to Christ. And we've just been celebrating those as they've happened over the course of the summer. And to see God answer their prayer, both we've had that happen here in Northeast and at Mosaic North as well. And are just grateful to God that the people that have been in Portland are coming to know Jesus as well. And not necessarily out of anything specific that we're doing, but as they've sought to follow Jesus, they found Mosaic and have said, hey, I'm just new to following Jesus. What do I do? And so just so excited to begin to walk alongside a number of people this summer who have come to faith. One of the ways that we worship and celebrate that God is alive and real and present in our lives is by trusting him with all of who we are. And one of the ways that we do that as a church family is by doing that with our possessions, our money. And so we take an offering, and we're going to do that now. And so we've got some volunteers that are going to come and pass some baskets. If you're here as a guest, don't feel like you've got to put anything in. We're not asking for your money. We're so grateful that you're here. This is really an opportunity for us to not only acknowledge that God is over everything, but also to partner with what he's doing here in and through Mosaic as well, and the mission that he's called us to. So those baskets are going to go around. If you are a guest here, again, so glad that you're here. We would love to get to know you a little bit better. And if you've got questions about who we are as a church and want to find out more, at the end of our time here, we do something called Coffee and Connect. And it's right in this room right here. And Jason, who's leading us this morning, will be in there. And it's just a 10-minute time to tell you a little bit more about who we are and to answer any questions that you might have. And again, it's really complicated. There's coffee, and then it's a time to connect, and it's right through there. And the other thing, again, just to remind you, if you haven't been a part of Wednesdays Together, there's one last chance. It's going to be a great meal. Our final class and Camp Mosaic is going to be a blast, and high school and middle school students will be at the park after dinner as well. So that's going on this Wednesday. It's the final one. Hey, I want to take some time, just a few minutes, to open up Scripture. We're going to come to this table and see a baptism and have a time of celebrating baptism today in our gathering. Before we do that, I want to turn to Scripture just for a few moments before we do that. So would you pray with me, and then we'll look to Scripture together. God, we're so grateful for all of the good gifts that you've given to us this summer, the memories that we've made, the fun that we've had, the time off, the time to rest, all of the things that we can celebrate as highlights, as simple as they may be. We just want to stop and pause right now and acknowledge that it's from you, that every good gift that we experience, that we taste, that we know in this life is ultimately from you, God. And so we celebrate that. We celebrate you here. Thank you for meeting us here in this time this morning. God, as we turn to Scripture, would you be present in what we read and what we say and what we hear? Holy Spirit, would you be active and moving in our time as we're gathered here? And Jesus, we just simply acknowledge that you are alive, that you're real, that you're present here, that you teach us, that you lead us, that you guide us, and most importantly, that you love us. And so as we look to your word, would you guide us now? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. These two things that we practice, communion, we come to this table virtually every week. A baptism is a little less frequent, but both of them, if we think about them, they're actually pretty unique and maybe even odd things. They're not things that we experience anywhere else. They have a unique and special meaning behind each one of them. The other thing that's special and unique about them is that they're both practices. They're both experiences that Jesus himself modeled for us and invites us to continue to practice. That Jesus, in his 33 years when he lived on this earth for 2,000 years ago, for those 33 years, during that end time, he introduced both baptism and communion. And he practiced it, modeled it, and then he asked his followers to do the same. And so I want to read just a couple verses from Paul's writing in the book of Romans in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, when he talks about baptism. He says this about baptism. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. Paul writes this: "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Paul's writing to younger believers, and they've just begun to follow Jesus, and some of them have been baptized, some of them haven't, and he's restating for them, hey, this is an experience that's meant to remind us, to teach us, but to mark us and say, this is who you are. And baptism is this, it's unique. Let's just be honest, it's a little bit weird that people get together, they have a place that's full of water, and then somebody else walks into that water and goes underneath and comes back up out. And then people cheer and they celebrate, and that's meaningful in some way. Like when you jump off a diving board and then come up out of the water, it's very rare that we clap for each other. I mean, maybe if you do an impressive flip or something like that, then that's great. But to gather together and to watch somebody go under the water and come back out, baptism is actually a simple thing. It just means dipping. It just means immersing. It means being kind of swamped over with something and coming back up out of it. But it makes a difference for us. I don't know if you've ever heard this or if you've said this about something, but to use the word baptism, and it's not a word we use very often, but I have heard people say, like, you know, when it was hot a number of weeks ago, that I was just baptized in this heat. Again, we don't say that, but I've heard people say that, and the idea is that came over me. I've experienced that thoroughly. Or if you start a new job and you've got to think through a whole new systems and ways of doing things, the idea of being immersed in that and changing the whole way that you do it, I'm baptized into this new system or something like that. Jesus used the term baptism, and it was common to understand that I'm going fully into something, and when I come out, it's affected me. I'm different. I've been swamped by this thing. I've been dipped into this thing. I'm new in some way. And what Jesus modeled for us is he himself was baptized. He walks up to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist is baptizing people, and he gets in line, and when it's his turn, John the Baptist says, "Whoa, you're Jesus the Christ. There's no way I'm baptizing you. You're special. You're above." And Jesus says, "No, I want you to baptize me." And John baptizes him, and Jesus comes out, and it's recorded both in Matthew and in Luke that as Jesus comes up out of the water, this special experience happens. When Jesus comes up out of the water, that there's a voice from heaven. It's his father's voice. And God says to Jesus, "You're my son." He names him, "You're my son." And the first thing he says about him is, "Whom I love. You're my son, whom I love, whom I'm well pleased, in whom I'm well pleased." Those are the three things that God says to Jesus at that moment. And Jesus comes up out. And then later Jesus says, "I want my followers to be baptized as well." To be marked, to have this experience in your life where you're fully into something. And the symbolism of it, as Paul writes here, you've been baptized into Jesus' death. That Jesus, this person that lived some 33 years and then was executed on the cross, that our baptism reminds us of that. Not only does it remind us as we go under the water, but it reminds us that prior to knowing Jesus, that we're considered dead. We're not fully alive. You're not fully alive. If you don't know Jesus, you're not fully alive in the way that God intended you to be. That God created and designed each and every one of us to be in relationship with him. And he created that opportunity to happen through Jesus. And the symbolism in baptism is that before Jesus, you were dead, and as you came up out of the water, it symbolizes that you're a new person as you know and trust and believe and follow Jesus. And as Jesus comes out and he's, words are spoken over him, "You're my son whom I love and we're well pleased." When we're baptized, we might not hear that audibly. We might not hear that from God audibly, but it's an experience and it's a marker in our lives where we're to know that. That God looks at us and says, "You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I'm well pleased with you." You don't have to do anything. You don't have to perform. You just need to know that you're in the family, that you're my son, my daughter, that I love you. I'm well pleased with you. I like you. That's what's intended. We're to hear and to experience and to know when we're baptized, when we believe in Jesus. It tells us our identity. It tells us that we know Jesus. The other thing it is intended to do is to say we're to follow Jesus and to be with him. And maybe this is a little bit different and you haven't considered this before. Maybe you're familiar with baptism, or maybe you're hearing it all for the first time right now. But the other part of baptism is to say that we're to be with Jesus and to follow Jesus throughout our days here. What Jesus did is that he came from heaven to earth and became fully human, still fully God, fully human. But he came here to this planet. He entered into our humanity here. And he did that because there's something wrong here. He did that to come and to be a savior and to be a help into a broken humanity, flawed by sin. That Jesus left heaven, his father's side, and came to earth. He came to where there's needy. He came to where there's a broken. He came to those that are in need of a savior. When we're baptized, if you've been baptized, this is part of your baptism. If you're considering following Jesus, this is part of what you're invited into, is to be with Jesus, and Jesus is with those that are needy and broken. When we're baptized, it's a saying, we want to be close to Jesus and we want to follow Jesus, which means we step into the places where Jesus is most needed. That by following Jesus, we understand that Jesus has gone to those that are in need. And that's part of our invitation. That's part of our calling. That's part of our mission in life, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. When we're baptized, it's not just realizing our identity. It's not just realizing that we believe in Jesus. It's also a symbolism that we're to go where Jesus goes, into a broken world. And to do all of that as a part of a family. And baptism in the early church was this great celebration of, here's another one that's in the family. Here's another son, another daughter. And so when we baptize people here at Mosaic, we want to be annoyingly celebratory when it happens. We want to cheer. All of that's happening in that person's life. Here's a person who's come to know Jesus. They're going to be with Jesus. They're going to be where Jesus is, and they're part of our family now. And so we want to celebrate really big. We have one baptism planned. We might have those that aren't planning on being baptized that choose to come forward today. We're always ready for that. We've got We've got just great gear in the back, a wonderful t-shirt, a wonderful pair of shorts that will fit you, guaranteed. And if you're ready and you've just recently decided to follow Jesus, or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you've never stepped forward and been baptized, we would love to help you do that today. We're going to have just a few moments. My friend Bree is going to be on the side there. And if you're like, I didn't plan on this, I don't know the right clothes on, but I'm a Jesus follower. I've just become a Jesus follower. And I'm ready to be a part of the family. I'm ready to let everyone know and make that marker in my life that I want to be known in a family as a son or daughter. I want to be reminded that I'm following Jesus. And I want to be with Jesus where he is in this world. Come and talk to Bree. You don't have to share a lot. You don't have to tell us your name and social security number and whole history. All we ask is that you just make a confession. We ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You say yes, and then it's under the water. And every single time we baptize somebody here, we've brought them back up. We've not left anyone underneath there. It's safe. You'll have to change clothes at some point. We've got to change the clothes, but that's available. And so we want to be obedient to what Jesus invites us into. And so if you're here and you have never been baptized before and you're a follower of Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you as you get baptized today. The other thing I want to invite you to today as well is to this table. And we come to this table frequently. Most Sundays that we gather as Mosaic, we come to this table. And I want to read Paul's words about this practice as well. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, a reminder, we live in a broken world that needs a Savior. There's betrayal. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Maybe you're here most Sundays. Maybe you've been a part of a church before. Maybe communion is fairly common or familiar to you. And you haven't thought about just how unique and honestly a bit bizarre it is. If you're not a follower of Jesus, or if you've not been a part of a church and not experienced communion, you realize that it's a bit bizarre. That in a public setting, coming forward and taking a piece of, you know, Jesus did it with bread, we do it with pita bread. I don't know if it was the same thing, and we've got other stuff. We have material that has had the gluten and other stuff removed from it. And I mean, we've got different kind of stuff maybe than what Jesus had, but it's the same symbol. It's the same representative that Jesus says, this is to symbolize my body that was broken, that was executed on the cross. And we've got juice, and Jesus used wine, and it symbolizes the same thing. His body bled. But even the friends of the first followers of Jesus said, this is weird. It's almost spooky. You're talking about a body, eating a body and drinking blood. Like, that's really weird. And Jesus was unapologetically bold in calling people to do this, to say, remember my sacrifice for you. That we are who we are as a church family, that we are who we are as sons and daughters of the King, that we are who we are as followers of Christ, because Jesus lived, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, conquered death, and rose again and ascended to heaven. Because that happened, because out of God's great love for us, that he gave his son, because Jesus, obedient to his Father, came and gave his life, that he's invited each and every human that has ever been born and ever lived to come into relationship with him and to live into the humanity that we were all designed and created for, that God intended for us, to walk with him and to know him and to grow in love with him and for everyone else. And this is the reminder of that. And so I want to invite you to, and again, maybe it seems common for you, but as you practice it, even this morning, that you would be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. If this is something new and seems really bizarre to you, if you're a believer in Jesus, I invite you to come forward and experience it as well. We're going to continue to sing. The band's going to continue to lead us, and we're going to continue to celebrate. And we're going to start first with a time of communion. So when you're ready to come forward and to take part in this practice, there's some set upstairs here and here if you're in the balcony, and then these three tables, and there's two at this middle table. And so you can do two lines. But we're just going to enter into a time of communion. And then after a couple songs, we're going to get to hear from somebody who's being baptized. And again, if you've not been baptized and you'd like to be baptized today, Bree is going to be standing over there by those windows. You can go and talk to her for a quick minute. And then if you would like to get changed, we've got clothes for you. And we'd love to celebrate with you. Jesus, as we enter into these practices today, we're reminded of your unending, deep, immense love for each and every one of us. The Jesus that you obeyed your Father and you entered into our humanity. You came to this planet fully God, fully human. You lived in our skin. You lived here for us and you gave your life. And then you conquered death, which is this wonderful, bizarre, miraculous mystery that we have a hard time wrapping our minds around. You rose from the dead, declaring who you are. And so we want to do the same today. We want to declare who you are, that you're our Savior, our King, and that you love us. And so as we come to this table as your sons and daughters, remind us, impress upon us again, your great love for us.